Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. We had a little bit of a break last week because we had a COVID scare. We're actually okay. Once again, my name's Greg, and this is Josh over here. And we had a COVID scare because we watched the game, I think, what was it, three of the NBA Finals?
That wasn't a...
Four? Five?
No, it was five.
No, it was game five. Sorry, it was game five of the NBA Finals. We went to Josh's house to watch it, and apparently his sister's friends got COVID. So we were like, oh, no. We went to school on Tuesday, and we got the phone call from his mother, and she said that they picked up some COVID, and they were in the house. So we didn't go to school on Tuesday. We stayed home, and turns out we don't have COVID. So it ended up being okay, but that's why we missed last week. But we're now back, Josh. We're back.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a bit of a different show today because, you know, the NBA is done, but there's a lot to talk about with that. The first segment that we're about to jump into, the NFL, we're going to split into NFL / MMA because, you know, there's not much going on in the NFL world right now because it's the offseason. And then we'll follow it NBA, NHL. The first segment, we're going to do NFL local sports.
Yeah,
then we're going to, instead of the hot topic, we're going to do a full MMA segment because we have two cards to catch up on. That's what we said.
Sounds good. All right.
Beautiful.
So we're going to start here with the NFL. Our first thing we're going to talk about here is, it's actually going to be a little bit of a discussion type of topic here. Deshaun Watson, once again, everybody knows what he's been doing in his off time. And, you know, he's not a good guy. So we're going to talk about this, and I want to know your thoughts, Josh. So today we found out that 20 out of the 24 lawsuits have been settled with the victims of his acts. And I just want to know how much of the salary do you think he paid all those people?
A lot, because they all got the money they wanted, obviously, because they agreed to settle. So, I mean, his last, like, how long has he been? Like 3 years he's been in the league for?
This will be his fifth year, I think.
Yeah, so 4 years. Yeah, probably like 90% of those four salaries are definitely going towards those women because, you know, maybe a little bit less because, you know, obviously the four of them didn't get the money that they want. They weren't settled. So he still has ongoing cases.
He still got four more to go.
Yeah, he still has four more ongoing cases. Wild. But
yeah,
he's going to be paying a lot of money. So, and it also sucks for him because, I mean, it doesn't really suck. You know, he did these bad things.
No, he sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. Yeah. But now he's probably not going to be in the league anymore because who's going to want him as their quarterback when you have all this like outside noise going? Because every press conference is going to be like, hey, coach, how do you feel about your quarterback doing this? Hey, Deshaun, how's it going in the courtrooms? O lineman, hey, how do you guys feel about Deshaun Watson and all these sexual assault charges? So it's just going to be like a lot of noise around him. Not really good for a team.
So actually playing off of that, the question I was going to ask you next is, what do you think is an appropriate penalty for him for the NFL? What my prediction would be is he gets suspended the whole year this year, and because the NFL doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to suspensions. I think he's going to get suspended the whole year this year, and then he's going to come back next year. If it were up to me, I wouldn't let him play another snap in the NFL, to be honest, because, I mean, 24 victims, that's a lot of people. You know, if it was like maybe two or three, maybe they're like, oh, made it up to get money, but 24 is a... He's guilty for sure. He's definitely guilty, and I wouldn't have him play another snap in the NFL. What do you think the appropriate penalty for him is, and what do you think he's gonna get?
It's gonna be a little harsh, but a lifetime ban, bro. Like that's messed up.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think
he
should play.
Lifetime ban. Like, I don't know if they can actually ban him because like since they settled, he's not like
He's technically quote, not guilty.
Yeah, he's
of
not
anything.
Guilty. The verdict hasn't been declared as not guilty. It's just a settled plaintiff case, but still like. Yeah, if I'm the team, like, I'm cutting him, and then no other team's going to pick him up, for sure.
Here's the thing with cutting him, though, because if they cut him, they have $120 million in dead cap, so they can't, that $120 million of his contract, they can't use it. So basically, they don't have any cap space at all. They have, like, negative cap space. So if they do that, they're done for like, his contract's 4 years. So 4 years are going to be $120 million in debt, basically. So... but even then, as the Browns, how do you go out there and just say, let's say he doesn't get suspended or he gets suspended like six games. How do you go out there in week six and say, oh yeah, Deshaun Watson is going to be our starting quarterback?
You can't.
I don't think you can either. Like, what do you do? I, like, if you're the Browns management, first of all, you shouldn't have traded for him knowing all this stuff was going on. Second of all, you gave him a big contract when you signed him, which was, I don't know why they did that considering this exact scenario right now. And, like, where do you even go from here? Like, you signed for 4 years to this huge deal, and if you cut him, you're in debt for 4 years, and your franchise is done for pretty much for the next, like, 5 years or so. What do you do from here? Because I don't know what you would do if you were them.
My take on it is, one, Cleveland's already done for in the next 5 years because they're just one of those cities, you know? They never win unless you have LeBron James.
They're just cursed, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's just going to go on their long list of quarterbacks that didn't work out in Cleveland. So, anyways, after, like, year two, he's going to be benched because they're going to go have to draft someone or trade for someone. But, yeah, I guess, like, if you have to go to dead cap, maybe the league will help him out. Who knows? Maybe they'll be like, hey, you know, you guys won't be in dead cap if you cut him because, like, we don't want this in our league. But at the same time, like, Ray Lewis was on the field, and he, like, literally murdered
people.
Yeah, he murdered people. So, like, the NFL doesn't really care. Like, you know, these guys all have, like...
Allegedly.
Yeah, so, yeah, but anyways, the league has, like, a bunch of guys that are, like, criminals and stuff like that, and, you know, they all have brain damage.
They play a game
where they just clash heads for a living.
Yeah.
In hard helmets, so it's, like, they all have brain damage, so...
And also, I actually think if they do cut them, they could maneuver around it, because... to be honest, the NFL salary cap is fake. It doesn't mean anything, to be honest. Like, you can be the Saints, who I think they're like 20-30 million over the cap, and like they can still sign free agents, they can still make trades. Nobody really understands how the NFL salary cap works.
Is there like a luxury tax or something?
It's not, but it the way the league operates, it feels like it.
Interesting.
It's so weird.
Salary caps are always weird like that.
Because you can like restructure guys' contracts. You can do all this stuff. You can
the
cut
NBA
guys.
Is like the only one with like very strict contract rules, I find.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like the NHL, even like the whole problem.
The LTIR thing is
yeah,
stupid
like
for
everyone
that.
Gets mad over that. The NBA doesn't have any of those things. It's just like, yo, if you get hurt, you have to pay him the salary.
Yeah.
If it's in his contract where you cut him and he has to get paid out, you pay him out whatever it is. You know, like the Lakers with Luol Deng, we got screwed for like literally 6 years of our lives because we owed him like $70 million.
Exactly.
Paid it out over like 10 years. It was terrible.
And you're right, because the NHL does have the loophole where you can put a guy in LTIR and then he just doesn't play the season and then you're under the cap because of that. And then he can just come back in the playoffs even though your salary's over the cap because cap doesn't matter in the playoffs for the NHL. I don't understand that. But yeah, the NBA for sure is definitely the most strict when it comes to that. And then next would be the NHL because during the season, the cap rules are pretty strict. But then when you get to the playoffs, they don't matter, which makes no sense.
Wouldn't it kind of make sense? Because like if you're under the cap the whole season anyways, going into playoffs, like you can't sign or trade anyone throughout the playoffs.
No,
so it's
I
like,
get that, but I feel like it's just kind of like it's like legal cheating is basically what it is because you're like you're over the cap.
It's like counting cards.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, that was the NFL. So we're gonna jump now into
local
sports.
So pretty much local sports. We have the. I'm gonna go with the Blackjacks first because I know the Red Blacks. Like, I think they played two games so far, lost them both to defending champs. So like that kind of sucks. Apparently they actually had like two really good showings against the defending champs. So it might be a good season for the Red Blacks. Don't really know. I haven't been able to watch those games yet. We're gonna have to though, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
Something we're gonna have to get into. So. We're going to do that. But for the Blackjacks, all right, so pretty much, I don't think I talked. Yeah, I did talk about this the week before. So, yeah, they fired the coach. They hired a new assistant coach, which was the old Ottawa U coach under James DeGray. So, like, it makes sense why they got him because, you know, they have a good relationship. Blackjacks, Deng Adel played against Guelph 2 weeks ago in Guelph, and they lost. He only played 17 minutes. It was really weird because I was looking and I was like, he must have gotten hurt. No, was not on the injury report or nothing. Next game against Guelph, he sat out, depressing, because I was like, this guy's literally the best player in the league. How do you have him sitting out? And then he finally came back the other night against Niagara River Lions, probably the best team in the league or one of the best teams. And they, Blackjacks lost, of course, by 9. Fall to 1-6 on the season.
Sad.
1-7? 1-6? I don't know. But they did just sign a new guy, Tavon. Let me get his name because I don't want to mess it up.
Tavon Myers.
Yes, Tavon Myers.
From Brooklyn.
He's a Brooklyn native. He played overseas for quite a long time. He averaged 15 points per game over his career. Really good player, to be honest. Much needed extra guard because right now we have no guards. It's literally just Walt Lemon out there doing everything. So if we can get him and Walt kind of playing together with Deng Adel, I think they're going to be able to start doing damage. But the problem is they're terrible defensively.
Mm.
Hot garbage, man. Like, no rotations. Their best defender, Maxim Borsico, is now, like, 12th man. So, like, he just doesn't play anymore, but he's the best defender. And yeah, the whole problem is like one 3-point shooting, like they're like average. I swear, every time I look at their stats, it's like 16% from three. Terrible. They can't shoot. And then on top of that, they're a terrible defensive team. So two things they need to fix, and they haven't been able to fix it at all this year. That being said, come playoff time, one and done's very possible that somehow the Blackjacks weasel their way out because everyone makes the playoff. So it being here in Ottawa is going to be their advantage. So we shall see what happens.
So going off of that, actually, I wanted to ask you, Dangadel is their leading scorer on the season.
He's like third leading in the league, I think.
Yeah, with 20.5. He averages. And why do you think they benched him a few like last week? What was that about?
I think he probably freaked out at the coach.
You think it was like a little penalty? Like, yo, okay, yeah,
I think he like lost it at the coach or something, or like was talking bad to his teammates because after like so they played in Guelph and then they came back to Ottawa, and in Ottawa when he was on the bench, he was standing up the whole game, like being a player coach. So I think it was just kind of like one of those things where like he just got frustrated, lashed out, and then they were like, hey, you know what, you're benched next game. Or he did get hurt and they just didn't report it on the injury report because like I don't see why you would bench him still. Like, it's a professional. Like, those types of guys have the right to do that when they're not happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it must have just been like a disciplinary thing.
I mean, I would assume so because you can't just bench late and score like that. I mean, and he's shooting 65% from the field. Like,
dude, he's money. Like, it's not even his fault that they're losing.
He's a monster.
Like, yeah, the team is just like, they're just missing shots. Like, what's his name? Cody John. Cody, you're a pretty good defender. You cannot shoot to save your life, brother. You can't. I've seen you shoot so many times. One game against Guelph, he had 4 air balls in a half. How can you do that?
Hey, but Josh, guess what? Ottawa's not last in the league.
I know.
They're second last.
Yeah, I know.
1-6. The Newfoundland Growlers are 0-7.
Yeah, so they almost squeaked out the win against the Blackjacks. Like, Dangadel like put the team on his back that game. But yeah, it's been a rough season for the Blackjacks.
Yeah, where do you see them finishing? You think like how many teams does everybody make the playoffs?
I'm pretty sure everyone makes the playoffs. Yeah.
So let's say they get. I mean, from where they are right now, they're going to verse Niagara, who's 6-3. And let's say the standings stay like this, they're going to verse Niagara in the first round. And how do you think they have a chance to, you know, maybe squeak out a playoff win? Who knows? Maybe like, you know,
dude, they did it every
Cinderella story.
They do it all the time. Like literally every single season, they're always under 500, and they somehow make the conference finals every year. They always get out of the first round, then they lose to the champions by like 2 points every year.
That just sounds painful.
Yeah. So then Edmonton, who's won the last like 3 championships, they go to the finals, and whoever they play, they blow them out. They beat Niagara last year by 50 in the finals.
So you
Ottawa
said
lost by 6.
Is Edmonton? You said are they back to back, right? Or no?
I think they're back to back to back.
So they won 3 in a row, but they've had a tough season so far. They're 5-4. They're only 5th right now in the league.
Yeah, I know. They're not having a great season. So, luckily, we haven't had to play them yet.
So luckily, I mean, let's say they keep playing like this, like they're gonna have a hard matchup in the first round, and that helps Ottawa because then maybe you know, hey, they get up.
I don't think playing Niagara is very good because right now Niagara's young player Lloyd Pandy, Ottawa native. He's currently training to go to the NBA draft, but if he doesn't get drafted, he's going to join that roster midway through the season.
Oh, jeez. Might say a prayer at that point.
Yeah, he's getting NBA training right now to get drafted. If he doesn't get drafted, he's coming back and playing for Niagara. So, yeah, not ideal at all.
Yeah, definitely not ideal, but yeah, that's pretty much going to do it. We have like 30 seconds. You want to squeak something in real quick?
I don't think there's anything else going on in Ottawa for sports. Like, I don't follow soccer.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we don't follow soccer here. We don't have any soccer fans.
For sure, Team Canada is, like, doing well.
I think so, too. Yeah, I don't really know. Don't really care, to be honest. But, yeah, so this has been our NFL and a local sports segment. After the break, we're going to get into the NBA. And then we're going to go NHL. And then our last segment is going to be a whole MMA segment.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. We're going to be back after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath Seguin. We are your host once again. And Josh, we're going to hop into the NBA after what has transpired here over the last week. We didn't get to talk about it last week because we weren't here. But Josh, tell us the end result for the NBA Finals.
Golden State Warriors 1-6, as me and Greg predicted.
We did predict this.
Woo!
We wanted to flex it on the show.
Yeah,
so
we had to. We're going to do this last week when they did win because we're going to record it on Friday. But then, you know, some events happened where I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would have been slurring words all episode, so I decided to take the weekend to recuperate. So, yeah, Golden State won. Stephen Curry finally won his finals MVP. You know, he should have 2, but he doesn't. Whatever. He has 1.
Congrats.
Yeah, so, you know, a few years ago, Golden State lost to the Raptors in a tragic fashion when Kevin Durant tore his Achilles. Klay Thompson tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was out there just doing everything by himself.
Yeah.
Hold on,
let me just say, I'm a Raptors fan, right? I was very happy when they won the championship. But if we're going to be real here, if Klay and Kevin Durant are playing, we lose in like 5 games.
I think even if Klay didn't go down with an injury, the Raptors still lose in 7.
I think so too. Yeah. I don't think we beat them. We'll take the championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we'll take it.
Canada, Canadians, we're going to take it. But yeah. Still. Anyways, so fluke of a championship. And then they go.
Yeah.
They end up being last place in the league, worst record, 15 and like 60 something.
Which is like probably best case scenario for them too. To get people to do that and then get Klay back.
And then they get a top 2 pick. Couldn't even play at all this year. And they still just like, you're just going to sit there and rehab.
Yeah.
Keep him in the locker room so they can trade him this offseason. Big moves coming. And then, worst team in the league. Everyone's giving them Curry, Klay. They're never going back to the championship. Last year, they lose to my Lakers in the play-in. Love to see that. But, I was kind of heartbroken. I'm a big Curry guy, so I was kind of sad for him. But, and then he goes on to his press conference after the game. You don't want to see us next year. And here we are.
And
a year later.
They won the championship.
These guys are champions. Yeah. Again, wild. What is that? They've been to 6 championships in 8 years?
Yeah.
They have 4 rings now.
4 of them in the last 8 years.
So, it's been wild, man.
I don't think people understand how nuts that is. 4 championships in the last 8 years, and they've got there 6 times in the last 8 years? That's absurd.
Yeah, absolutely absurd. So,
I just want to say this. People need to live in the moment, man. I feel like nobody ever appreciates greatness when we see it because people just are, like, blinded by hate, especially because I know a lot of people don't like Draymond. I get it. He's annoying. He does all this stuff. He does all these antics. He talks all this, smack. But, you got to give the guy credit. He's the heart and soul of that team, and when he's playing well, the team's playing well. When he's not playing well, the team's not playing well. We saw it in the finals. When he was playing bad, the Warriors were terrible. When he's playing good, the Warriors were good.
That was wild. And, I was happy to see Curry finally got his finals MVP. Also, there was a slight scare that Andrew Wiggins was somehow going to steal it.
We were talking about, Andrew Wiggins, if he keeps doing this, he might steal it.
It was, game 5 where he had, his 27 or whatever, and Curry didn't hit a single 3.
Yeah, that scared us there. We're like, oh.
And then, also, he had, the assignment of guarding Tatum, and, Tatum played horrendous in that finals.
Oh, yeah. By the way, let's give Curry some credit on defense, man. Probably I know people like to say he's not a good defender. That guy can play defense when he wants to play defense.
He's a pretty good defender. Yeah. Misses a lot of rotations, but on-ball defender, he's pretty good.
On-ball, he's good. He's got quick hands. He's got nice active hands.
He's pretty much matching up Jaylen Brown the entire series because all they did was just put him in a pick and roll. So
yeah,
it was impressive. I want to ask you this. I see a lot of people saying, Curry, is he top 10? Is he not top 10? I think he's top 10.
See, I want to get into that because I was going to ask you the same thing in literally a few minutes. So, great minds think alike, Josh. But I was going to say, you just said I also think he's top. I think he's right at 10 right now. He's eight. He's in the 8 to 10 range, to be honest.
I think he's jumped up past some people.
I think so too.
I think Chamberlain's dropped out of 10.
I don't think it's crazy to say.
And then I think Bill Russell, Tim, I'd probably say Timmy D, moved down one slot. And then Curry's now right there.
Literally looking at his accomplishments, he's won 4 titles. He now is the finals MVP. He's a unanimous MVP, 2-time MVP, all-star game MVP. I think 8 all-star games I think he has.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised it's only 8. I thought it'd be more.
I think he has
that.
8 all NBA teams.
Yeah, exactly.
The only accolade he's missing at this point is all defensive team.
Yeah, which is, I don't know if he's going to get it, but if he does get that.
If he was going to get it, he should have gotten it this year because his defense this whole season was really good.
Yeah, so let's say this. Let's say, he's only, I think, 34 right now, but he's a young 34. He doesn't play like he's 34. He's still in
peak conditions.
That's what I'm saying. He's still really, he can still move without the ball really well, and, that's where he gets all his offense from, is moving without the ball. And let's say he can still do this, LeBron's, 40 now, right? So let's say he can do this, effectively. Let's say Steph can be effective for 3-4 more years, maybe even more. Let's say he does that, and the Warriors keep playing. And they win one more title. If they win another title next year, then is Curry top 5?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably jumps up there.
I think so too. And I think
he knocks Shaq out of the top
5. I don't think it's crazy to say they could probably win again next year.
Oh, I think they could.
Yeah.
Well, especially they have so many options, Ben. All the young talent, they can move. They can move Moody. They can move Kuminga.
And Jordan Poole was
a
really good pickup too. Really good pick in the first round.
I'm keeping Poole, but if you need to throw him in for another superstar, you're going to do it. But yeah, you can throw in Kuminga, Moody, and Wiseman into a package.
Yep.
That's an insane package for any team in the league that's looking to rebuild.
Maybe throw in like a pick too. Like they yeah. Exactly.
You don't need it. So like just give them a pick. So it's like, yeah, they have a lot of options to go by.
And also Kevin Looney, I feel like he played really well during the finals. Like,
Looney was really good.
He doesn't score, obviously, but like he plays his role, does a good job.
The only problem was that he fouled a lot. Like he did, get into the game and have like three fouls in like 2 minutes and you're like, Kavon, come on, man.
Yeah. Now this begs the question now, because the Celtics are a very young team. I didn't think they were going to make the finals personally. Actually, well, I did. I did say they were going to make the finals.
The whole
I did
time, say you're like, whoever won between Bucks and Celtics are going to win.
Yeah,
originally.
I did say that. But honestly, going into next year, so I did say they were going to go to the finals. I thought they were going to win the title, to be honest, after they beat the Bucks. And going into this now, going into next year, there's all these good teams in the East again. Like, I feel like Milwaukee's going to bounce back. I feel like they might go to the title next year.
I think they're going. I think that's the only team that can beat Golden State in the
and then
game.
Yeah, I think so. And then the Sixers, obviously, are always going to be a good regular season team. The Heat, they were fiends last year. I don't know why. They were really good this year. I didn't think they had that good of a team in general, but, like, they played really well together.
They had, like, four guys on average scored in double digits.
Exactly, but, like, they were all playing really well together. But, like, yeah, let's say all those teams are good again. Like, when's the next time Boston goes to the finals? Because, like, I don't think – this might be a hot take. What if they just don't make it back to the finals with this core that they have?
It's very possible. Because, like – okay, so one thing is people now – just assume it's easy to make the finals.
Exactly.
And that's because of LeBron James. You, LeBron.
I don't like LeBron, but
I love you,
agree,
LeBron.
Yes.
Thank you for doing all that because now you set like a different standard for greatness pretty much. But like, yeah, people just think it's like, oh, it's a cakewalk to get to the – I thought it was. I was like, dude, the Bucks are walking to the finals. No one's going to compete with them.
I thought they were going right back.
They couldn't do it. They struggled. So it was like, you know, they needed their rest. They have it now. Giannis is going to come back a different breed next season.
Yeah.
Even better than he is now, which is – wild.
And I think I'm going to predict them. I think they're going to win the championship next year, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think if they go and Golden State goes back, it's going to be tough. But dude, even Golden State, they're going to if they play the Clippers in that second round of conference finals.
Yeah, the West is going to be even
terrifying,
next year too.
Bro. Yeah. Kawhi PG.
Yeah.
Kawhi's clamping Curry. I'm sorry, I love Curry, but he's clamping Curry.
Yeah, he will, yes.
Like, it's going to be impossible for Curry to do anything. Exactly. So, like, they're going to need someone again because, you know, Curry's not a Kevin Durant or LeBron where you can't stop him, really.
Yeah,
you know he has to get going, but yeah, I don't know. The next year's gonna be wild, man.
But
and then the Lakers, you know, obviously you have the Lakers in there.
Okay, we got the Lakers. I mean, this isn't even just because you're a Lakers fan; just in general, like you have a LeBron James on your team, you can always say like, they might go to the finals.
I'm also excited because how much time do we have?
Four minutes.
Okay, so I'll do this, and we'll go to the trade that happened during the playoffs. So I'm just excited because the Lakers went and hired Rasheed Wallace as the assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to hold everyone on that team accountable. And especially Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You already know, as soon as he signed his papers to coach that team, he called AD and was like, let's go.
Yeah.
To the gym. He can't be a top three talent in the league, arguably, and be bumming. Oh, we have 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, besides that. Okay. And then during the playoffs.
Yeah.
During the playoffs. The Dallas Mavericks made a trade for Christian Wood, which is a big trade.
Really nice trade.
They really need help for Luka because Luka's out there suffering by himself. He's drowning.
He's got the whole team on his back. It's
let
hard.
Me just quick time get all the players that were traded because I know Bobby was out. That's always sad. You know, Bobby's just that guy.
Everybody likes Boban too.
Everyone does. Yeah, I want to see him. I hope the Rockets cut him so he can go either re-sign with the Mavs and be with Luka or go and be with the 76ers again. And just see Bobby and Toby. That's the best. So it was Boban Marjanovic, Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, Marquise Chris, and I think it was a number 28 pick.
Yeah.
Something like that in the draft. Number 26. Really good. You know, obviously the Rockets, they don't know what they're doing over there. They have no picks. So
yeah, I mean, I'm
going to
be real.
Get.
Like, Marquise Chris is a nice player. You know, Trey Burke, maybe a little nice point guard off the bench, but they pretty much gave up nothing to get him, if we're being honest. Like, those
no,
guys,
facts.
They gave up nothing.
I mean,
to
like,
get
the Rockets are trying to tank, but it's weird because, like, the Rockets have no picks.
Yeah, they don't.
That Russell Westbrook trade screwed them.
Yeah, they screwed them bad.
They gave up everything to get Russ and then kept him for like 70 games. And then
I do like Jalen Green, though. He's good. Like, he's solid.
Jalen Green's good. I love Kevin Porter.
Yeah, Kevin Porter's a really nice player,
a weirdo. He can be a really good player in this league. they have a pretty good young card. But besides that, they have nothing else. Like, Christian Wood was pretty much their other piece. And
he
now,
was their main guy, pretty
now
much.
Now they have nothing. So, anyways, I love this trade for Dallas. I think it's going to be good. I think Dallas is going to be the team to do the most transactions this offseason. They're just going to do a lot.
I think they're still going to make another move for sure. Whether it's
they're going to do another like one or two
free agent signing.
I think it's going to be sign and trade for that Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't think Dallas, if you're smart, Mark Cuban, if you're listening, you do not pay Jalen Brunson $25 million a year. Don't do it. Terrible idea, man. He had like two good games in the playoffs, and people are like, yeah, this guy's almost a max contract. It's like, what?
Yeah, definitely what? Not.
He's like a 6 foot post player that can barely score. Like, it's chill. Yeah, so pretty much it, though. Sean Curry.
Yeah, so basically, I like that trade really for the Mavs because, as you said, Luka, he kind of just has them on their back out there the whole every time they play. And you get another guy, you know, Christian Wood, who averages, I think he averaged 18 points a game last year. And you get another guy like that for Luka, get a secondary score. And he's still a decently big guy, and they do need a big guy. But he's not going to play center. He's going to play point power forward, probably.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to sign and trade for sure, like you said. If they do that, or if they pay Jalen Brunson, which I don't know about that. But if they do pay him, I think they're going to try to trade, maybe, or try to sign like a low money center, like a nice big center, because they still need a big guy. They don't have
JaVale
a big guy.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, like JaVale McGee. I mean, who knows, maybe. But like Dwight Powell, he's not a center. He's only 6'10". I think he's not really a
Maxi Kleber either.
Yeah, and like they don't have a good center. And I think that's like the one thing they're missing, because they have decent guys, like they have decent role players. Obviously Luka and then Christian Wood now, but they still need a center because they need a big guy down there, and they really missed that this year in the playoffs, especially.
Yeah. And I mean, I know at one point this season they're talking about potentially trying to figure out a trade for Rudy Gobert, but now there's lots of rumors around him. Apparently he might end up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Is where I've seen recently. I guess they're going to do a trade with Vucevic. Mm-hmm. They're going to send Vucevic to Utah and then Rudy in exchange. I mean, Utah, I don't know what they're doing. I've been saying they need to blow it up. A lot of people don't like me for that hot take, but like, man.
I agree, though. I don't see them going anywhere.
6 years with Donovan Mitchell. Like, stop wasting this young man's career.
I don't see them going anywhere, man.
You guys have literally ran it back with the same team every year.
Yeah.
And you haven't done anything in the playoffs. You guys had the one year where you came back from the Clippers, the 3-1 comeback. That was cool. But then you guys got killed in the second round, so it didn't really matter. And then, yeah, like, I don't know, man. If I'm Utah, like, I'm trading Donovan Mitchell. Send him to the Knicks or something. Send him to a team where you can get a lot of young guys back. Send him to OKC, man.
Yeah.
Go to OKC and be like, give us 6 picks for him. Because they have 30, they have like 30-something picks over the next like 10 years, so they don't need them.
So before we end off this segment, Josh, I wanted to ask you, I know you're obviously a Lakers guy, so do you think before this championship, did you think Steph was the greatest point guard of all time, or were you a Magic guy?
No, I always thought Steph.
So I feel like it was always Magic for me until I feel like kind of now it's solidified. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll take Steph. Yeah, I think Steph's the greatest point guard of all time. I only say Magic just because Magic was, he could do everything, like, on the court.
Yeah.
Like, he was just crazy.
My thing is, when you look at those teams back in the day, like, Magic, he did it 1 year when he was a rookie. He didn't even do it by himself. He had Kareem. But, like, the one game where everyone pinpoints Magic's greatness was when he stepped in as center in game 6, I think it was.
Yeah.
Dropped, like, 40 points as a rookie. Everyone's like, oh, that game for Magic. Magic also played with like 6 Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
On one roster. That's true. Like, it wasn't just like, you know, over his career. It was like literally one team for 10 years had 6 Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Curry has like 2 other guys, arguably 3 for 1 year with
the KD. Is Draymond a Hall of Famer? I think so, right?
I'd say so. Yeah. The Basketball Hall of Fame's a joke, but that's a whole other segment. But yeah. Anyways, I think Curry's been the greatest point guard of all time since like he pretty much changed the game.
Yeah, fair enough. But, that's how I felt. So yeah, that's our quick discussion there on Steph and his greatness, and congrats to the Warriors once again. We're going to throw it to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the NHL and what's going on with Colorado and Tampa Bay and what might happen in the offseason. So stay tuned for that. We will be back after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos with Josh McGrath-Seguin, and we're going to hop into the NHL. So far, we are just about a week into the Stanley Cup Finals here.
3 games.
And, the third game was just played yesterday at the time of this recording. It is Tuesday right now. And so far, the first 2 games, I mean, I said before the series Tampa in 7. I think Josh said Tampa in 6.
I'm going hard on that one.
Yeah, Josh is going really hard on the Tampa in 6 prediction. I said Tampa in 7 before the series started. And I know people overreact to 2 games. They're like, oh, Avalanche, you know, they killed them in both games. But all I got to say to that is it's the NHL, you know, like stuff like that. Like it happens. Stuff like that happens. It's the NHL playoffs.
It really happened to Tampa against New York.
Yeah, Tampa.
New York literally went up 2 games on them.
Yeah, they went up 2 games. And back going to the first round, the Leafs, in game one, they beat Tampa 6-0. And, like, even after that game, I was like, it doesn't matter. It's still going to 7 either way. Like, people need to stop overreacting to one game. Like, I know the Avalanche look really good. They look really fast. They have all these good players. Like, they're all, oh, fun, exciting, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's Tampa Bay. They're back-to-back cup champs for a reason. They have Andrei Vasilevskiy in it. He's one of the best goalies ever at this point. And I know he had a rough first two games, but he really cleaned it up yesterday. He was really good. I think he had, like, 34 saves on 36 shots yesterday. And Tampa scored 7 goals, I think, on him yesterday.
I think it was on 6 goals.
Yeah, 6 goals. And they actually, Colorado started the game with Darcy Kemper in net, and then they took him out after the 5th goal, I think. And then they put Pavel Francouz in the game. So, I mean, I think Tampa's going to win both games at home, so I think they're going to win the next game as well. Tied up 2-2 going back to Colorado, and then they're going to win in Colorado. And then if you're Josh, he's saying they win in Colorado, and then they win back in Tampa Bay in game 6.
That's what I think, man, because this is like this is the same scenario it was in New York.
And it's pretty much the same.
We're talking to Tyler about this, and Tyler was going on, like, that whole New York series. Oh, dude, look how good New York is. And I was like, dude, chill out. Tampa gets one win, and now they know what – they know the foundation to win games. So now I think the rest of the series is going to be really close. Like game – what was it? Game 1 was, like, super close. It went to overtime.
Yeah, they lost – Tampa won 4 – Tampa lost 4-3 in overtime.
Yeah, and they were – it was a good first game.
Don't get me wrong. They did get – the Tampa did get dominated in that game. Yeah. Like, the fact – this is what I said after the first game. Tyler said – going back to Tyler, he said to us – he's like, oh, no, they dominated them the whole game and blah, blah. They look way faster. I'm like, okay, cool. But the fact that they got dominated in game one and only lost in overtime, they almost won the game.
Yeah.
And I know they got dominated, but that's how good Tampa is. If they can lose a game like that in overtime after they've been getting steamrolled the whole game, I mean, that's Tampa Bay for you. They're that good.
Yeah.
And literally, as you said, it's the same as New York. They lost the first two games in New York. And then
in brutal fashion as well.
Yeah, both bad games for them. And then everybody's like, oh, maybe Tampa's, you know, falling off a little bit. And then they come back and they win 4 straight games and win in 6 games. Like,
to me, it's one of those things where it's like, so another thing for Tampa is they've played probably 3 different styles of hockey teams. This is now their 4th different style.
Yeah.
Like, it's maybe Florida, I think, Toronto, Colorado, pretty similar.
Colorado, Tampa, and Florida are kind of, or Colorado, Florida, and Toronto are kind of all mixed in a little bit. But yeah, everybody's different. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I just think Avalanche are, like, a lot faster because they're a little bit on the younger side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, overall, like, they have the better goaltending. They have way more experience where when it comes to winning championships, that's the key.
Yeah.
Is more, for any sport, more experience.
Yeah.
They're going to figure out. And that's the thing is that, you know, Tampa can be about to be the true dynasty in the NHL. Like, they're going to set the new bar for what a dynasty is.
Yeah.
Where back to back to back, wild. Absolutely wild.
And it's different because obviously when we look at the NBA, for example, you kind of can look, and I know there's kind of the stereotype in the NBA that, oh, it's pretty much the same teams playing in the finals every year, which they got that reputation from LeBron and from Golden State. So that's kind of where that came from. But in
Lakers and Boston too.
Yeah, and that too. But in the NHL, it's different. It's like, usually it's different almost every year. But Tampa's kind of changing the narrative where it's like, yeah, we're still really good, and we have all this experience, and they're coming back for a third time, and they could definitely win this series for a third straight time. Like, they could win the cup third straight time, and I don't think, like, once again, this goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, people need to recognize greatness when they see it because people don't care. They're just blinded by all the hate. Listen, man. They're going to win a third straight cup, or at least we think so here. They're going to win a third straight cup, and then and people are still going to be like, oh, well, they did all this, this, and this. Like, oh, they cheated last year with the salary cap and the LTIR, blah, blah, blah. It's all legal. Like, it's not like it's illegal. Like, obviously, it's annoying. It's not like it's illegal. They play by the rules, and they have a great goalie, a great hockey team. And I got to give credit to their management because I remember in their first year they won the cup. They had really good guys in their bottom six, like Barkley Goudreau and Blake Coleman, and then they ended up being really good for Tampa in the playoffs, and then they got big contracts. Coleman went to Calgary, and Goudreau went to New York, and they both signed like $8 million contracts each. And then going into next year, you're like, oh, no way Tampa can go back because they lost those guys in the bottom six. Bottom six forwards in the playoffs are really important. Sometimes those guys decide games for you. So they lost those guys, and they're like, oh, who are they going to replace them with? And then they ended up replacing them with like guys like Matthew Joseph and like Nick Paul and all these guys, and they get these guys pretty much like out of thin air, and they're cheap guys, and they end up producing for them in the playoffs. Like this year, Nick Paul and Brandon Hagel, they traded for Brandon Hagel at the deadline from Florida, and then they traded for Nick Paul from Ottawa. So, and Nick Paul's been really good for them. He's a big body, like forward. He drives the net hard. He scored last night too, and they just find these guys out of thin air, just out of nowhere, and they start playing well on the bottom six for Tampa, and that's really important for them.
So, I think that's just championship culture.
Yeah.
You saw it with Andrew Wiggins even in the NBA where, you know, he had a mediocre career, not expectations, yeah. And then he comes over, and they're just like, yeah, we expect more out of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're going to get moved again. And then he put in the work. Same thing they're doing with these guys. They just come in. They're like, yo, this is what we expect from you. This is what you have to do.
And they
when
perform.
The game's not, yeah, yeah. When the game's not going our way with our top six, you guys need to come in and set the precedent of where this game's going to go from here on out. They come in, they'll go grind out a goal for them, and then that gets the team rejuvenated and gets going. So I think that's really important for championship cultures, is really pushing on guys. You know, my like teams in Florida specifically, they do this a lot where they have really hard like training resumes.
Yeah.
Like Miami Heat, they have like a weight limit that if you want to play for the team, you have to be under like a certain percentage
amount of pounds,
body fat, which is wild. And no other team does that. There's a reason why Miami, for you know, early 2010s, they dominated the league.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa, I'm sure they go in and they have very strict resumes for workouts, eating, all that stuff. So these guys come in and they're like, okay, this is serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they take it very seriously. When you have a franchise like Ottawa, who, you know, they don't know what championships are. They don't have a championship culture. They're constantly in a rebuild. So I think that's kind of what separates like Tampa, even Pittsburgh, who like everyone thought they were going to do some damage this year, but kind of got robbed in the first round over some missed calls and whatnot. I mean, that could be a problem with Toronto, is that you guys go in sometimes and you guys just think, oh, we're too talented. No one's gonna be able to compete with us, but you're just missing that urgency of being like,
they don't, you know what it is with Toronto? They don't have a killer instinct in them. They don't want it enough. Basically is what it is. They don't want to kill the other team. They don't want to just, you know, say screw it and just stomp on their throats and be like, we're going to the next round. They don't want to do that. And versus Tampa, oh, they know how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
They know how to do that very well.
Tampa really did that in the Toronto series, in the Florida series, where we were talking about this earlier in the season, that Florida was looking like they're going to pull away for the cup, and they made quick work of Florida. I think that was like probably one of the only sweeps in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. And before going on Florida, I just want to say, we did early in the season think we're like, okay, maybe Florida, this might be their year. But I just want to say, I was one of the first people on the train of Florida's overrated. I was on this train for months, and it worked out. So I'm just going to brag about that again real quick. But they go against Florida. Probably people were saying probably the toughest matchup for them so far. And then they steamroll them in four games. And then they're like, oh man, Tampa Bay's back. And then they lose the first two games against New York. And then people just give up on them. Like, I don't understand the philosophy on that. Like,
even against Colorado. I know Colorado's a really good hockey team, but like,
and people are giving up on them again.
You can't count them
down
out.
2-1. That's what I'm saying. You can't count them out.
They're one of those teams. They're like Golden State in that sense, where they hear all the noise. And they just keep in the back of their head. And they're like, let's go prove
they're
them
like,
wrong.
Okay. And then they just keep the receipts. They're like, okay, when we do this, oh, we're going to talk about this later. Yeah,
exactly. It's
They're like the gum that sticks to the bottom of your shoe that you can't get out, you know?
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Yeah, man. It's Tampa in six.
Yeah, Josh says Tampa in six. I say Tampa in seven. But so far, going off of the NHL real quick, this is, as you said, like the Warriors in Tampa, they're actually really, really similar from the way their culture, their coaching, the players they just pick up out of nowhere. Like as I said, Nick Paul and Brandon Hagel, that's like for the Warriors, Jordan Poole. They drafted Jordan Poole, and he ended up being a really good impact player for them. It's like the comparisons are really good. And another thing about Tampa is that doesn't get enough credit, I don't think. Their coaching. John Cooper has been their coach for now for, I think, around 6 or 7 years. And when Tampa was kind of, they couldn't really get over the hump. They were kind of like Toronto in that sense, where they couldn't really get, like, they couldn't win the cup. But now, they got over the hump, and John Cooper's been there the whole time, and he's done a great job coaching a team. And this is probably Tampa's worst team out of the last three teams they've had that have been really good. And they're still, you know, they just dominated Colorado last night. They've been dominating teams in the playoffs, and they're still eking out wins left and right. I don't know how they do it. Huge respect to John Cooper, because that guy is a wizard with his coaching staff, and like his players, amazing. And as we said, with Colorado, their goaltending, it's not good. Their goaltending's not good, but they just have a really explosive offense and pretty good defense too. But as we go here, let's do some comparisons real quick. So we have, for Tampa Bay, we have Vasilevskiy. top two goalie in the league, right?
Yep.
He's up here. And then you have Darcy Kuemper. He's down all here, all the way here. He's not very good. And then Darcy Kuemper, when he got injured, it was Pavel Francouz, who's been a career backup. He's all the way down at the ground. He's not good at all. So, like, if we just say, okay, so Tampa has the edge in goaltending, cool. And then you have Stamkos and Kucherov against McKinnon and, let's say, Rantanen. Those two guys, really, really good, McKinnon and Rantanen. Don't get me wrong, both superstars, maybe both top 10. Well, I mean, McKinnon's a top three player in the NHL, but Rantanen's probably a top 10 player as well. And then we see Stamkos and Kucherov. Stamkos has been really good for a long time, but he's kind of getting older, but he's still good. And then you have Kucherov, who's one of the best wingers in the league. But difference with them, I probably say McKinnon and Rantanen are a better duo than Kucherov and Stamkos. But you have this is experience. They've won two cups.
Yeah.
And these guys have not done anything yet. So that's really where I say, where I look at it, because they have the advantage in goaltending, advantage in experience. They have a deep team. They have good bottom six, good all four lines, good defense. And then you see, it's what it is. It's like Colorado's like the shiny new car you see, where you're like, oh, that's really cool. I want that. But then they don't have the experience. They're not really like worn in, you know. But I think Colorado next year, I wouldn't be surprised if they win next year. I don't think they're going to win this year, though. I'm taking Tampa in 7 games. Josh is taking them in 6 games. This has been our NHL segment. We have 2 minutes to go, but I don't know what else to talk about. So unless you have something to add on, Josh?
Tampa in 6. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all Josh is saying. Okay, yeah,
that's my slogan for this NHL playoffs.
Next week we'll come back and we'll talk about that. We'll see if... If
they win 4 straight,
yay! That's actually crazy. Because they would have done that 2 straight series now. They did that last series.
Yeah.
And now they might do it again.
And what did I say last time when we came in and they were down 2-0 and Tyler was like, oh, I told you Rangers. And I was just like, Tampa in 6, baby. And then boom, Tampa in 6. I'm telling you, I'm speaking into existence for the boys.
I will say, for most sports so far, for these playoffs, our predictions have been pretty on par, I'd say, so far.
I think my NFL ones are completely off, but the NFL was kind of just a shocker.
NFL's kind of just unpredictable. Like, that stuff happens.
It was a shocker.
Yeah. Like, a bunch of random stuff happens. But this has been...
Like 15 seconds or 13 seconds. That was random.
13 seconds is pretty random. You know, I still don't know how you can go 50 yards in 13 seconds. I don't know how that happens.
Only Mahomes.
Yeah, only...
And Tom Brady, I guess. Tom Brady could do it.
No, only because he's versus Buffalo and we're cursed. We're a cursed franchise. But we're going to go off of this now, go throw to a break. When we come back, we're going to have the MMA, right? Yeah, MMA segment. That one's going to be about 15 minutes, I think. So
probably around there.
We have a lot to talk about anyway because there was 2 cards that we missed. So we're getting into that after
this.
And
one's a fight night, so it's not even like just main card.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a main card. It was a fight night, and it was like an unreal fight night. But we're going to talk about that later. Throw it to a break after these quick few messages. We'll come back with MMA.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos with Josh McGrath Seguin. This is our, once again, as we said earlier, we missed last week's show, but we've returned. We had our brief hiatus from our little COVID scare, but we're back now, and this is our MMA segment. We usually do a hot topic, but this week we're not doing it because we missed 2 MMA cards so far that we didn't talk about on the show yet. So we're going to get into it. Josh, tell us about UFC 275.
All right, UFC 275, great card overall, top to bottom.
One of probably the best of the year so far.
I agree. It was a really, really good one. Very intense, a lot of great fights. Early prelims doesn't really matter. Prelims, Brendan Allen got another win by decision. That was kind of cool. You know, he's a up-and-coming guy. And then let's just go right to the main card because to me that's just the more interesting.
That's what we want.
So Jack Della Maddalena, I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah.
He knocked out... Ramazan Emiev in the first round. It was wild.
It was pretty brutal.
I remember watching that one, and Jack is one of those guys where, you know, he's coming to the UFC. He's had quite an impact so far, and, you know, now he picks up his second first-round knockout this year, second fight in the UFC. Jeez. He looks like he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
If he's doing that, he's a second knockout already in his second fight.
In the first round. So, You know, he's one of those guys where he doesn't get out of the first round. He's sleeping or you're sleeping, one or the other. So that was a fun fight to watch. And then Jake Matthews knocked out Andre Fialo.
And he hit the Jordan Shrug, too.
Yeah, and that fight was really cool because Jake Matthews, another guy who's kind of been around for, I think he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yep, since 2014. So he's had ups and downs throughout his whole career. You know, sometimes he's looking like one of the best fighters in the division, and then other days he's getting absolutely dominated. So he's just kind of been on a big roller coaster. I mean, he is 18-5, so it's not like he's
Yeah, he's been like terrible, but
he's not a bum. Yeah. But like, you know, this Jake Matthews though looked like the best Jake Matthews we've ever seen.
He looked really good,
so good. And I mean, Andre Fialo, he's someone that's actually he came to the UFC pretty recently, if I'm not mistaken, and he's been dominant ever since joining this promotion. So he got knocked out though.
You know, big
he's
time.
He's one of those guys who just like loves to throw down. Wait. This guy, oh my goodness, that was his fourth fight this year. Oh my goodness.
His fourth fight this year?
Yeah, man.
It's June.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot.
Does he not have training camp?
Sometimes UFC, because there's no like season for it, that like sometimes fights just feel like ages ago. Like I'll think of a fight and I'm like, oh, that was like 6 years ago. And I check, I'm like, that was like end of last year. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, like Kevin Holland fought like what, five times last year?
2020.
In 2020.
And then he lost to Brunson and then took some time off and then went down to 170. Anyways. Anyways, that fight was fun to watch because, you know, those guys are just throwing down the entire time.
And that's always fun to watch.
It is fun. You know, if you have a weak stomach, don't watch it.
Yeah, don't watch it. I love it. We love it, though.
I love it. It's so fun.
It's very fun.
And then, arguably, the first time these women met, the best women's fight of all time. One of the best MMA fights I've ever seen, men or female, doesn't matter. Weili Zhang, you want a young J-Check?
When she got turned into Megamind.
Yeah, that was a wild fight. Five rounds, brawl. Neither woman backed down the whole time. Both went out on their sword.
Yeah.
Weili got the edge. And then this time, you know, Weili looked phenomenal.
I think this is, not going to lie, I think this might have been her best performance in the UFC. I think that she 100%. Looked like she looked so good, like just so crisp.
It's hard to say because, you know, obviously when she got rid of Andrade in like 40 seconds, that was pretty impressive. I mean, but Andrade is no Joanna.
Yeah.
Joanna's a stud.
But also, I guess you could use the excuse like Joanna hasn't fought in 2 years. So it's like.
Yeah, since that last time they met.
Yeah.
So.
And she retired, by the way. So. Yeah.
You set the bar for the women's strawweight division, five title defenses.
Yeah.
Probably the best woman's strawweight of all time. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I was very sad when she retired.
I was sad.
It was sad.
I love Joanna. She's a great fighter. But yeah, Weili Zhang hit some disgusting spinning back fist.
Yeah, it was gross.
It was executed perfectly. He just boo, and Joanna just flatlined. Just went straight out.
Yeah.
Great fight, man. It was actually entertaining to watch, even though it only went like just over 7 minutes.
Because Joanna did have some moments so far, like in that
she
in the first
her,
round,
like a few times.
Yeah, where it's like she had some good moments. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe we got to fight here.
And then Weili just set up that spinning elbow disgustingly. Yeah.
Actually, hold up. Before we move on, actually another fight that was supposed to be on this card but wasn't was Vittoria and Whitaker. So
yeah, that's in September now. I think.
If that was on this card would have been even more crazy.
Yeah, it would have been stacked.
But yeah, go ahead, Josh.
That fight's now rescheduled for September as like a fight night, I think.
Yeah.
And then we had the woman's GOAT, arguably. You know, Amanda Nunes, I think that title has now dropped from her because she got beat by Peña somehow.
I think so, too.
So Valentina Shevchenko defends her title against Talia Santos. This one was kind of controversial.
I was
going to
say,
people were
very controversial.
Back and forth on it. I personally scored it 3-2 for Valentina. I think the second round, even though she was getting grappled, like, she was on, like, Talia was on her back and was doing nothing, and Valentina was just like, eat these shots. And it was just like punching her in the face the whole time. I think that's kind of what ended up going to, because like people always forget, it's like damage trumps everything else. So it doesn't matter if you have ground control. If you're out striking them, even if they have the control, that trumps the control time. So, I had a 3-2 for Valentina. I thought it was a really close fight, though, regardless.
You could definitely make an argument, though, for Santos.
Oh, 100%.
For sure.
I think so. Fight was going all Santos's way up until the clash of heads in the third round.
Yeah.
That's what changed the fight, because Santos literally couldn't see anything coming out of, I think, it was at the right side of her.
Yeah.
So Valentina just kept throwing everything at that side.
And honestly, if that clash of heads probably doesn't happen, I think Santos probably wins like pretty clean. And then later in the fight, Valentina then pretty much just said, okay, we're not doing this. Just took her down and then pretty much just sat on her for the rest of the round.
Yeah. But,
which probably won her the fight, to be honest.
One thing I will say is that people need to go back and you can literally just tell by the way that fight ended and the demeanor Valentina was walking around at, and Talia knew she lost that fight.
Yeah.
She knew for a fact, because she was walking, like, hands were down, head was down. She was bummed.
Yeah.
So there was no, like, everyone's like, oh, she definitely won that. She didn't even think she won the fight.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think definitely Valentina won it. And then the main fight. This one was wild.
This fight of the year.
Jiří Procházka did the unthinkable.
Unthinkable.
Somehow, some way, he was getting dominated for four rounds. Probably three, but arguably four rounds. And somehow, 30 seconds left, Glover looks like he's about to win. This guy pulls guard. Yuri does some crazy flip thing out of the guard.
I don't even know what to call it, what he did.
he just crazy. Like, people, there's definitely some name for it, but dude, he did some crazy transition, gets on top of Glover, and submits him. Rear naked chokehold. No. Guillotine. Was it guillotine or rear naked?
It was rear naked. It was, because he was on his back.
Yeah, it was. Rear naked. With no hooks in.
No.
Against Glover.
Yeah.
Who's one of the best submission artists of all time.
That was the first time he's tapped out, ever. Yeah.
And, like, it was so sad to see, because Glover was so close to defending his belt. And it was just, like, a bad judgment call.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. Guard. I don't know why he did that.
It's one of those things, though. It's, like, drilled into him, you know? Yeah. Hurt him, take him to the ground while he's shook.
He needed what?
Get him out.
28 more seconds. He would have been fine.
Yeah, and he would have won that fight. But, yeah, Jiří now champion.
Jiří's a savage, though, man.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I love Jiří so much.
I love
and
that
And he shaved
guy.
His little thing, by the way. I was like, got to keep it. I like it.
I saw that, but... No, wild. Wild man.
Love I'm not going to lie. That was probably one of the best championship fights I've watched in general. Like, it was just good.
I think Izzy Gaslam's definitely up there.
Yeah.
That was a banger fight.
Yeah.
This one was definitely the way, this one's a Hall of Fame fight, 100%.
Because, like, dude, the way, like, when they were standing, it's like you could clearly tell it was pure, like, Jiří had the advantage. But then when he started, like, when Glover started to take him down, started to wear him down, and Jiří got tired. Later on, Glover was standing and banging, and he was, like, giving him, he was piecing up Jiří, and it looked like Jiří was out on his feet for a sec. And then he went to, as you said, he went to pull guard, and then Jiří just...
did some crazy spinorama.
Just he was, like, the way he was transitioning, like, I think this fight answered a lot of questions in terms of, like, I don't know if Jiří can grapple or wrestle or anything like that. He proved it in this fight, because he was doing these crazy transitions and then choked him out 30 seconds left.
This is the worst matchup for him in the division, because there's no other wrestlers.
Yeah.
Everyone else just stands and bangs. Exactly. So I think he beats everyone else. He can beat everybody else in the division. This was his hardest fight, and he overcame that test. That being said, they might have to run it back.
They have to run it back.
You know, like,
screw the Jan fight.
Jiří won. Jiří won, but, like, really, he lost. Like, he was literally dominated 90% of the fight.
He officially won, but he didn't. Yeah.
Like, it was earned, but not given. You know, like, it was one of those things. Like, it was weird. But, anyways, congrats.
Can we clap for that fight? That was
First Czech Republic champion ever in UFC as well. Yeah.
And the parade he had, too, afterwards. It was sick.
Wild.
It was nice.
Wild parade. All right. And now on to the UFC fight night of Cater versus Emmett.
And this was a banger, too.
This was a banger card. Yeah. So I didn't watch the first few fights. I know Adrian Yanez is now ranked. He put on a really good performance, apparently, in that fight.
And there was a lot of heat before that one, too, because I know Tony Kelly was saying some stuff.
Yeah. Donald Cerrone and Joe Lozin, once again, canceled. Both these men, people are saying they need to get cut from the UFC.
And I think Dana said he's not going to make the fight again, so he just...
Makes sense. Last time it was Donald couldn't make it because he was sick, and then this time it was like Lozin had like a locked knee or something. Like,
yeah.
He said he just like woke up one day, went to take a step, and his knee just couldn't move anymore.
No.
Terrifying, bro. That is a terrifying thought.
I'm not going to lie. I would have panicked. I would have been like, yo, I'm dead.
That's what he was. He was panicking for sure. The other few fights, don't really care. The one fight that we will start on, though, Joaquin Buckley.
He looked so good.
So good.
So good.
So good. Albert Durev. Don't know how to say his name. He's one of those Russian guys. Always hard to
one
say
of those Russian
names.
Wrestlers.
Yeah, scary. Don't know how to say their names. But, yeah, so apparently there was some bad blood in this fight because they used to train together. And then Albert was saying, like, oh, this is an easy fight for me because I used to dominate him in training. Dude, Joaquin's definitely not
Buckley
the same.
Dominated him. Like, steamrolled him.
Yeah. He ended up getting the win by Dr. Stoppage.
He couldn't see.
Man could not see.
I mean, he was swollen shut.
Yeah.
He couldn't see anything.
Yeah, Joaquin was just doing things. He did one of those, like, crazy kicks, too, where he, like, jumped, put his, like, leg on the guy's thigh, and then,
and
like,
then spin,
fully
spin.
Spun and tried to clip him. I was
the one
like,
he got the viral knockout on, like, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Wild. But that one, the guy, like, caught it. Like, this one, he, like, used him to, like, elevate.
Yeah, he stepped
jumped
on him.
It was, like, a double jump. It was wild, like, when you're playing a video game. Yeah, Joaquin looked really freaking good.
And, like, his defense, too. Like, when Durev was trying to take him down, he was standing his ground. He was like, yeah, I'm not going down. And he just, it was crazy. Definitely his best performance, for sure.
Absolutely. And then Kevin Holland versus Tim Means. This
He's
was a good...
savage. I love Kevin Holland. He's great.
They're both savages. Tim Means is also a savage.
Tim Means also, exactly,
Kevin Holland, though, since making the transition to welterweight, 170 pounds, he's now 2-0. I mean, he's fought, you know, Cowboy Oliveira, like, okay fight.
Yeah.
But Tim Means is a legit guy. You know, he was on a 3 or 4 fight win streak. He's been around for so long. Really good wrestler, but loves to stand and bang. And Kevin Holland looked good. Looked really good. Looked a lot, way faster than he does at 185, which is crazy to think because he was fast at 85. His power obviously contributes down because, like, he doesn't. He was saying before the fight that he worked on his nutrition a lot. So, like, the last fight against Oliveira, he definitely looked shaky from that weight cut. So, this time he looked really good going into the fight. And, I mean, I think he's going to be a real contender at 170.
I agree. I think dropping weight definitely was the best thing for him to do.
100%. Yeah. I'd love to see him, Jorge, soon. Like, give him one more fight and then give him Jorge.
That'd be cool.
That'd be a cool fight because I think Jorge's now, like, the gatekeeper for that division.
That get a lot of views, too.
Mm-hmm. They love to chat. So, like, before the fight, it'd be a really fun press conference. But that, and then he ended up winning by a Darce choke in round two.
Yeah.
That was a really good Darce.
It was just very
instantly,
nice.
Instantly pulled it, went on him out cold.
I didn't even think he had it, like, in right away either. But then he just tapped. I was like, oh, okay.
No, he had it. He sunk that in quick. And then there's the main event.
Oh, this one also a bit controversial. Who won?
Yeah, this one was very weird.
Yeah.
So Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett. Two guys that love to throw.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Emmett is a wrestler, but does not like wrestling. He has this, like, he has insane power. He has, like, 1 minute? Oh, my goodness. So, Josh Emmett, insane power. He was literally just throwing haymakers the whole time. Calvin Kattar just piecing him up with his little baby jab. Just boop, boop, boop,
yeah, he was just like, stay away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, I don't know how Kattar ended up losing that, because to me, it's like, damn it. If you're looking at damage, obviously he did more damage. Like, Josh Emmett did not look like Josh Emmett at the end of the fight.
Yeah. Also, Calvin Kattar saw his face?
Pretty boy face. Yeah, I don't know what the judges were seeing.
Maybe it was the octagon control, because he was kind of walking him down the whole fight.
Yeah, but like I was saying, like, damage trumps everything. So
that's true,
like,
yeah.
You shouldn't have to get the octagon control, because that's like Rose and Carla type thing. You know? Like, that's the only thing you can judge is, like, who had control of the octagon. But this fight, it was like, Kattar was just piecing him up with the jab, and then Emmett was just throwing power shots, but didn't look like they landed clean ever. So it was really weird. But yeah, that was pretty much it. This UFC card tied the most in UFC history for most knockouts in a night.
With 8 or 7?
8.
Yeah.
Which is wild. I thought that fight was going to be the cap. You know, I thought one of those guys was not walking out of the octagon.
I thought there was no chance there wasn't a knockout in that fight.
I agree.
Well, this has been this installment of the Press Box. We will be back with you next week when we talk about the results of the Stanley Cup Finals for the NHL. Is there a fight night this week? Or no?
Yeah, it's Neil Magny's on it, but two guys that cannot pronounce their names.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that for the MMA, NFL. I'm sure some stuff will come up. And yeah, so this has been this episode of Press Box. I'm Greg Alperoff, joined by Josh Grabstegen. And, you know, we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.